Let us pray. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ, my God. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, and greetings from your fellow like-minded saints of Gethsemane of Saginaw. It is good to be here with you on this Shrove Tuesday. It's become an annual event for 14 or 15 years, so I look forward to this greatly. The word of God that we would lay upon your hearts is found in John chapter 18, verses 4 through 11, and we read God's word as follows. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with him. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you that I am he," Jesus answered. "If you are looking for me, let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Dear friends in Christ, your fellow redeemed. So what did you have to do to get here tonight? Did you have to change your normal meal time? Is there maybe a stack of dishes that you left behind so you could get here on time for our service tonight? Was it a mad rush to get everybody in the car and out the door? However it was, it's good that you are here tonight. It's good to set aside time to meditate upon the sufferings, upon the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we begin our Lenten season, we find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we also find a large detachment of soldiers and religious officials coming out looking for Jesus, led by Judas the traitor. And they are not coming out to worship him or to learn from him, but they are coming to arrest him. And as you can imagine, the disciples are frightened. But Peter, our good friend Peter, draws his sword in a show of bravery. And then our Lord says, "Put your sword away." Now, we might find those words rather strange. Wouldn't Jesus be happy at this show of loyalty, this show of courage on the part of Peter? But no, these are words that Peter needed to hear, and they are words that we need to hear. The words that Jesus spoke to Peter sharpen our focus. They put our focus where it needs to be, and our focus needs to be on the cross of our Savior. It is our task this Lenten season to let nothing distract us from the cross of Jesus Christ. It is our task, and truly it is our great privilege to see his cross. And tonight we are called to see his cross and to put away our swords. The men Judas was leading out that night, well, they weren't a friendly group of men. They were a gang of thugs. And they had come there totally prepared for a fight. Clubs, swords, torches. And if there was going to be a fight with Jesus' disciples, they had the manpower and they had the weapons to deal with it. They came for one purpose, and that was to arrest Jesus of Nazareth. Now, if we had been there, if we could put ourselves in their shoes that night there in the dark of Gethsemane, beneath the olive trees, how might we have responded? I think we would have been frightened. And I think we would have done anything we could to avoid this gang of people that were intent on violence. And we might have even tried to run away. But what does Jesus do? He does something that probably we wouldn't expect, or most people wouldn't expect. Instead of trying to hide, or instead of trying to run, he goes right toward this group. He advances toward them. Jesus knew why they had come. He had known it for a long time. He knew this moment was coming. And he even told his disciples and warned them about it. You remember when they were on the way to Jerusalem, he said, "The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." So Jesus sees his cross. He sees it clearly, and he does not shy away from this mission. So he submits to the mob. But notice that he does so in a way where he shows that he's entirely has this situation under control. He does so in a way that shows that this is his choice. He is going toward the cross freely and willingly. The Bible even says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." And we see this when Jesus says, "Who is it you want?" And the crowd replies, "Jesus of Nazareth." And then Jesus responds back, "I am he." And then what happens? They all draw back. They all fall to the ground. Whenever I read this, I can't help but chuckle to myself. If you can picture this, these grown men falling down backwards, it's almost like a scene from the Three Stooges. Here they are struggling with their torches and their swords and their clubs and trying to get back on their own two feet. But what does it show? It shows that if Jesus had not allowed them to arrest him, there was no way that they could take him. You know, even if they had grenade launchers and machine guns, it wouldn't have made any difference. Jesus chooses of his own free will to go along with this game. He chooses to lay down his life. No one takes it from him. He lays it down of his own authority. So we have come here, to this place here tonight, for the same reason, in a sense, that the crowd did. We've come to seek Jesus of Nazareth, although in a different way. We've come to see his cross. Without the cross, we could be only destined to an eternity in hell. And we might like to think otherwise, but the Bible doesn't exclude us when it says there is no one righteous, not even one. Well, that includes you and that includes me. We have come here with a load of sin. We've come here with sinful thoughts and words and actions. We have come seeking this Jesus because we need him to do what he has done for us. We need his death on the cross. And why is that? Isaiah tells us, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." This is the cross, and this is what Jesus clearly saw. Thank God that he saw it. Thank God that he knew that without the cross, we would have no forgiveness. We would have no peace for today, no hope for tomorrow. But do we always see it so clearly? Or are we often like Peter? You know, Peter was there that night with the other disciples, and I could think of a word to describe what was going on in Peter's mind. It might be the word confusion. He was confused. What was going on here? How could it be that Jesus would be taken captive by these men? He had seen Jesus do amazing things. Feed the 5,000, raise the dead, walk on water. And here he was, letting himself be captured. Peter was confused, and this wasn't the first time he was confused about Jesus' mission. Remember when Jesus had told his disciples that this was going to happen. We read about it before. And remember what Peter said? Never, Lord. This shall never happen to you. And then in the upper room, he boasted that he would be loyal to the Lord. He would go to Jesus. He would go even to prison and even to death with his Lord. Finally, here in the garden, he bumbles around with his sword and ends up cutting off the ear of a servant named Malchus. Through all this, Peter just wasn't getting it. He was getting it all wrong. So Jesus says, put away your sword. Salvation, you see, would not come by any human effort or by any human power. Peter couldn't save Jesus. Peter couldn't even save himself. Put away your sword made it clear that anything Peter could do, anything you and I could ever do, is just not going to cut it. Jesus didn't need force. He didn't need one sword. He didn't need 1,000 swords. He didn't need anything that any power on earth could ever do. Peter could not achieve it by any brave effort. And any noble thing we do or courageous thing, that's not going to take away our sins. Yet sometimes even Christians begin to lose focus on the cross. We lose sight of it when we think that our status with God maybe just a little bit depends upon us. Or we lose sight of the cross when we get kind of full of ourselves, full of our pride. Or when we kind of think less of other people because after all, hey, we're Christians. And that person isn't. We lose sight of the cross when we focus on the things that we think we're doing for God or we're doing for other people instead of focusing on what God has done for us and what He's still doing for us. See, Lent is that age-old call on God's part to put away the idea that we can do anything or provide anything for our salvation. It's a time to remember what the hymn writer tells us, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. You and I stand before God only by grace and only by the cross of Jesus. We want to see His cross clearly. We want to put away ourselves and simply cling to what God in His mercy has done for us. Isn't it wonderful to know that what Jesus did actually does pay for every last single one of our sins? That's all taken care of. And that what He finally said on the cross, it is finished, means that it was paid for once and for all and forever. And that we could live each day knowing that our status before God is one of not guilty because of what He did. He did it all. You know, it can also happen that members of a church think that they need to, or what happens in the church depends upon us, depends upon what we do. So church members may try to strike a blow, right, for the church and kind of help the church become more successful. And what often then will happen is that instead of proclaiming the message of the cross, the temptation is to proclaim a different message. Maybe not emphasize so much, you know, the sin thing or the judgment thing or the fact we deserve hell. Don't talk about the cross all that much. Give more of an upbeat and a friendly sort of message. But what happens then is the focus is lost. What happens is the focus goes on us. It's like we're getting out our sword and thinking that we can do something to advance the cause. Yes, the Lord wants us to serve Him and share the gospel, but it's all Him. It's all His Word. The church is robbed of her essential message if it thinks that it can help God's work along by the things that the people do. Maybe the first question that Jesus asked when the mob appeared is the one that we need to end this message with tonight. He asked what question? He said, who is it you want? So what did you come to see here? What did you come to seek? Something other than Jesus crucified? That image of a bloody Savior on the cross is not attractive to this proud, do-it-myself world, and that even includes our own sinful nature. The message of the cross will continue to be foolishness in this world, and it will continue to offend many. But friends, it is God's wisdom, and it is God's power to those who are being saved. It is still God's way to save. So put your sword away and see nothing. See nothing but the cross. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds. In Christ Jesus, our crucified Lord. Amen.